Do. All right. Hey, everyone, and welcome. I'm Jeremy, and this is Spoilers. It's a new segment here on 8-Bit Geek. It's where we review and break down some of the year's biggest films. Of course, we have the usual suspects here, Kevin and Doug. But we also have two very special guests sitting in with us for this one. First up, we have Windrush. She's a professional cosplayer. You can find her all over social media. Where can they find you?
Hi. Well, first of all, professional seems like a strong word for what I do for cosplay. Can we scale that back to
I'm not scaling it back. Okay. Professional.
Full-time
it's out there.
Full-time cosplayer.
We can say award-winning cosplayer.
There you go.
Award. So, okay. Okay, you can find me on Facebook, Windrush Cosplay. Instagram is also Windrush Cosplay. I'm on Twitch as Windrush with three S's for no known reason. What else? Twitter, Windrush. All of it. All of it's Windrush. Just Google Windrush and I'm sure you'll find me somewhere.
Awesome. And then, of course, we have Peter Kleins, author of Paradox Bound, The Fold, 14, and the X-Heroes series. Welcome, sir.
And what else? And what else? Not necessarily what other book, but like what else is he?
Oh, he's an award-winning cosplayer.
He's a New York Times bestseller.
And a New York Times best-selling author. And cosplayer.
An occasional.
Maybe I should be a Peter Kleins cosplayer. I feel like that would be kind of cool. I could be an X-Heroes cosplayer.
I
think that it'd be better than cosplaying me, because honestly, that'd just mean like, you know, walking around with no pants on half the time.
What? That's my favorite category.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Lots of whiskey. Yeah.
Staying at home with my mason jar margarita.
Nice. Yeah, parrot hat on, perhaps? You've got margaritas. Got to wear a parrot hat.
Windrush, I'm surprised that you haven't planned an X-Heroes cosplay.
It's actually a good thought. I don't know. Part of the problem, that is, I don't know how many people have read the books to see me at a con and know who I am. I mean, regardless, I look cool.
I've had people ask me about it, and I think part of the catch, I would guess, as opposed to regular cosplay, because it's books, everyone has their own idea of what the characters look like.
It's true.
That,
although
you
there
know,
are
there's
covers. Like, the covers of, like, the X series has a pretty good depiction of the heroes.
The covers are pretty good. And I think probably out of the covers, most people would sort of agree on stealth.
Yeah.
That this is what stealth looks like. But past that, it's really tough to say, like, okay, what would be distinctive about a Corpse Girl cosplay?
Well, yeah. I mean, then you just end up kind of being mistaken for a Walking Dead cosplay.
Exactly.
If you're anything that's zombified, you know, that's what happens.
We actually, at one point, we were going to put one of the characters, Captain Freedom, on one of the covers. And then it actually came down to the fact that, okay, but he's a big guy in army fatigues. That's it.
I mean, Mighty Dragon, isn't he on a cover?
He's on a couple.
Right? Yeah, he's on the first. I'd be a female Mighty Dragon.
He's on first and fifth, but again, it's, I don't know. I'm not shocked.
Well, just here's what you gotta do: make it into a movie, and then everybody will cosplay as them.
There's honest to God, if you go on YouTube, way back before I was with Random House, I pulled in a ton of favors from some film friends, and we made book trailers.
I saw that today. I was looking up information, and I saw on YouTube. I was like, "What is this?"
Wait, is Windrush
typing?
look up. There's a St. George trailer. There's a stealth trailer.
Oh my God, there is, from 2011. My gosh, I'm very excited. You don't understand, the audience at home, nobody understands how much I love this series. I read this series before I ever even heard that 8-Bit Geek was interviewing Peter Kleins. And then they one day were like, hey, yeah, we're interviewing this author, Peter Kleins. I was like, what? I love this series so much.
Well, it's because we were at Texas Frightmare and I had read most of the books at that point that were out, like all the way up to date at that point. And we were just walking by and I was like, it's like, that looks like the X-Hero books. That looks like the author of the X-Hero books. And we got to the end and I was like, I gotta go back down that aisle real quick. Hold on. And I think I was Googling them on my phone. And I was like, yeah, that's him.
I read the first three all together while I was at a business trip. Like I read X-Heroes on the plane on the way to the business trip. I read X-Patriots in the hotel room that night. And then on my way home, I read, like, what's the next one? X-Communication?
Communication.
Yeah. So I like mainlined the initial part of the series in one go. And I was very invested, emotionally invested. They're great characters. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, speaking of great characters, we're going to jump into this. We're here to talk Infinity War, and we're all going to laugh. We'll cry. We'll tell stories of our adventure of seeing it last night. But first, you know, we've built up this. It's been 10 years coming, and Thanos has been teased here and there. And we know that we were going to build to this point, but it took 10 years to get there. Looking back at it, does it surprise you? Like, I know Windrus and I know Pete are both, you both are comic book, you know, fans, and you're deep into the lore. I mean, for me, you look at it and it's kind of like a comic book series. Now, instead of it, a new, you know, comic book coming out every week, we got one every year, and it took 10 freaking years to get to the end of the story. But how does it feel like getting to this point, building up?
Well,
yep.
It doesn't feel like the end of this. I mean, this is spoilerific, right? Like, this
yes, of course.
First of all, it does not feel like the end of the story.
No, that, it felt
when
like
those credits popped up, I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Yeah. This is not the end.
What is happening? They ended one of their movies on a cliffhanger, which Marvel hasn't really done. They normally save their cliffhangery shit for the end credit stuff, where it's like, oh,
yeah.
What's that? Mm-hmm. Whose ship is that? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is one where it ended. We were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, that there was I looked down at my watch at the very end when Thanos is sitting there, and I was like, oh, no, they're not going to fix this. Like, just looking at the time, like, nope.
Yeah.
And then the credits started rolling, and I was like, fuck me. Holy crap.
Yeah. It was so I think the part of the reason I've had a lot of time to think about this, like, I literally cried myself to sleep last night about this a little bit. I think part of the reason it was so upsetting is because it was so contradictory to what I had prepared myself for. Because I thoroughly thought that Captain America was going to die, Tony Stark was going to die. Like, I had an idea of who we were going to lose, and it was just none of them, except for Bucky. Like, I knew we were going to lose Bucky, I felt like. But otherwise, I was not ready. Nobody is emotionally ready to lose Peter Parker. Nobody will ever be emotionally ready
not the way that he did either.
Like the longest slowing disintegrating of them all.
Yeah, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Like, oh God, no.
Yeah, lots of open crying, like just. And Paul's sitting next to me, and I'm like, you cannot touch me right now. Do not touch me. Do not
That whole sequence, the theater I was in, just like went dead silent. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone was just like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some like gasps and stuff in my theater. People just like, like when, you know, Black Panther is walking up and he's like, get up. Just gone. Like, there's people like, because it's like, well, we just got you. Like, but
yeah. Well, and all through it, I mean, I think that was one of the things in this, is that we all went into it expecting some casualties. So, I mean, they were just getting us left and right in this. I mean, when the Guardians of the Galaxy first run into Thanos on Nowhere, and Drax charges Thanos, and Thanos just snaps his fingers and boom, and Drax just falls apart into like puzzle pieces or whatever.
I thought that was it for Drax.
Exactly. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. But when they showed Mantis, because he like turned her into like ribbons, like you could see her blinking, and I was like, oh, thank God.
Oh my God, and how horrible, and oh my God.
Because that was the thing, like, they never explained, is that painful for you, or were you just like, what happened to me?
Yeah,
probably. Because
she's just
confused.
Laying out like ribbons, but like not gory or anything, but just like, and then they just piece themselves back together when he leaves.
I had this horrible thought that it was probably, it literally crossed my mind. You've ever heard like those old stories about like when they would guillotine people during the French Revolution?
Yeah.
And like one out of every 10 heads would survive.
Yeah, for a couple of seconds, enough to look around.
Yes. Like you've got that like 10 seconds of, oh dear God, I'm a severed head. And then,
oh man.
And I was just like, is that what Drax and Mantis are going through? Like, oh dear God, he turned me into spaghetti.
I mean, that was the reality stone, right? So we don't know if it necessarily was painful, because it's not like they were being sliced and diced. They were
exactly
the reality of their biological makeup was changed.
Mm-hmm. That actually was
is because he didn't have all the stones. So when he left the area, the influence of the stone left with him.
Exactly. I actually took it that he just didn't care. Like he did it to them, and the minute you're inconsequential.
Whatever.
Out of sight, out of mind, sure, go back to what you were before. I don't care.
And in the end, they kind of were, because the only like guardian to make it out of this fucking movie was Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket. I know.
And arguably Nebula.
I would say she's from the Guardian series, but she's not a guardian in this case.
I have a theory that perhaps Gamora is not dead. I have a theory.
Well, because I don't think anyone's really dead.
No, but I mean in the sense of, because he had to, quote unquote, kill something he loved.
Sacrifice her. Yeah.
Sacrifice something he loved in order to, so a soul for a soul. But is it really based off his perception of loss or actual loss?
I don't know. That's
I'm sorry, bold. But throwing Gamora off a cliff does not fucking kill her. Like, Gamora is difficult to kill.
Okay, first, that wasn't a cliff. That's like throwing someone out of a plane.
Yeah,
really.
That was a long fall.
That was a long fall.
Like that dude in Lord of the Rings, he's on fire, you see him jump off the side, and you see his flaming body falling for eternity. That's what that was. I was like, that's like, what's going to kill him first? the fire?
He's burning the whole way down.
I'm holding out hope. Because, I don't know, it makes me think of the Black Mirror series in the comic books where Gamora wields the power of the Black Mirror. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe. Because I'm racking my brain for who might have the power to reverse what's been done. Instinct says Wanda, but Wanda is gone. You know, like, no more Scarlet Witch. So,
okay. Well, if we're going super spoilerific, I mean, does everyone's read the original Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War thing, right?
No.
The books? No?
Oh. At the same time, it doesn't necessarily, it's not gonna, like, there's a lot that's missing.
Yeah, there's whole half of Marvel not in this movie, I'm sure.
They've definitely changed a lot. The thing is, having read that original, I think, 5-6 issue comic series, I gotta be honest, I kind of went into this expecting this was how it was going to end.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That the end point of this was going to be, and Thanos kills half the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think they've actually set up a lot of stuff for the way they reverse it, basically, in the comics, which do we want to spoil that much? Spoil possibilities of what's to come?
Well, I mean, it's a theory at that point, because they've changed so much. Yeah, who knows what that's going to do?
Yeah, so. That's true. The theory in the comics, what ends up happening is they plant the idea in Thanos' head of, well, what if you didn't kill them? I mean, you're all powerful. What if you kind of just brought them back without thinking about it because you felt bad? What if you brought Gamora back just once you were omnipotent? And
we already know he's sort of walking that line.
The whole idea. What?
Well, I was just going to say, I think already know he's walking that line. Like, he has this vision of a child.
Exactly.
Gamora. Yeah.
Right. And I like the idea of him. Yeah, we're ending just like he wanted. You know, and I'm just going to go, I can finally relax and watch the sunrise on a new universe. but he's still wearing the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And he's still got all the power. I mean, it's mashed to hell. And even when little Gamora says, like, so what did it cost you? Everything.
Yeah.
So once you're all powerful and you have that 1 minute of regret, you know.
Yeah,
maybe that.
Well, that's. Too, yeah. I think that is very much the point of, once you are all powerful, that also means you have to be somewhat omnipotent and all knowing, and you realize the flaw in that initial plan, because no one individual should ever claim and impose that sort of moral superiority on the entire galaxy. Yeah. That's the point. And the Infinity Stones are not designed to allow for that to happen either. So that knowledge is meant to kind of break the person that tries to wield them.
Yeah.
So,
well, like the other big spoiler, what do they call the Stone Keeper?
Yeah.
Who we see. Yes.
Red Skull,
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so Red Skull is the person in the cloak that appears. And I'm telling you, I was sitting there like, who the fuck is this? Because I'm like, my brain did not assume him, and I was trying to put the voice to an actor, and so I'm like, man, this sounds like the dude that plays Littlefinger on Game of Thrones. Like, who is this? And when the hood came back and it was Red Skull, I mean, again, another moment, and I had a great theater as far as like audience participation, cheering, and clapping, and laughing all together and all that stuff. And that was another moment in the theater when everyone just, we were like, what?
Might
like,
as well.
Holy shit. And I was like, yes, that's a solid reveal.
Part of, to me though, like Red Skull, yes, it was kind of like, oh, wow, okay, you're here, weirdly.
Bonus.
But to me, I was kind of like, wait, so Gamora did not lie. I fully expected Gamora to lie, at least initially, about the location of that stone. Like, I mean, I know she loves Nebula, but I thought she would have faith in Nebula's ability to escape.
Yeah, but Thanos already said that you're a bad liar as well. Like Thanos could tell.
Yeah, I guess she would. That makes sense. Like, but at the same time, like I just thought she would at least try to tell him something, like a red herring first. Mm. You know, because she does know to some degree that he isn't going to hurt her.
Except for the killing her thing.
Well, but in her reality, he wouldn't. But also in her reality, he can't love anything. So
that's it. I don't think it's that he didn't think he wouldn't hurt her. She mattered to him.
Right. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. So
yeah, because there is the realization where when the Stonekeeper or whatever you want to call him is like, oh, you know, you have to sacrifice, and she's like, ha ha, this sucks for you. You can't do this because you don't give a shit about anything. And that's just like, oh, and you're crying about it, you big baby or whatever. And then you know, he's like, no, you misunderstand. Like, yeah, you see that, like, oh shit, I did not think this through. Boy, mm-hmm. did I not see this one coming.
Yeah,
even though I knew it was coming, I still was a little shocked. I was like, no, they didn't really do it, like they really threw her over. And that for me, that was still a moment. I still gasped.
Yeah, and I was like, man, how are they gonna do Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
Just all
still a question in my mind.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. Okay, so since we've already jumped to the ending, I might as well ask this. Did the ending for you guys have any kind of, if for me, it didn't hold the weight that I thought it would. Okay, because I see all these people disappearing and I was like, oh man, this sucks. But I also know for a fact that this isn't how it ends and they all come back. And I know you probably all have that in your mind somewhere. But I wish that they would have not revealed all of the movies coming out. I wish they would have held that in order to make this heavier and to make you believe more that, holy shit, these guys are really like gone for right now.
It's the curse of any sort of, I mean, production business thing, that the minute you're going to start revealing future stuff, that we're making Spider-Man 2, we're making Black Panther 2. So we're all kind of feeling confident Black Panther is going to come back. Spider-Man is going to come back.
Right.
Guardians are going to come back.
Yeah. I remember reading a thing that Russell Davies from Doctor Who was furious because they hadn't even started filming or airing season one of the new Doctor Who. And the BBC announced, and we're going to have David Tennant as the Doctor in season two. And he was like, you fuckers. He's like, you've just told everyone the end of season one now.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a like kind of notes for the stuff where we kind of, the three of us put our thoughts down, just like how we're feeling about the movie and all this stuff. And I even put like my theory for this is that like we have to get them back because there's only two movies between now and then. As far as I know, I think there's only two on the slate.
There is. Yeah. There's
Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I'm so curious how this is going to play into that, if at all.
Yes.
The chronology of that, though, is before all of these events happen.
So. Is it?
I think so.
it almost has to be, I feel. And if there's any like post-credit scene, it might be them dealing with this somehow. And it might be Wasp disappearing or something. Because I know Ant-Man's been on set for Avengers 4.
Well, we also know that Ant-Man and Clint, Hawkeye, are somewhere together.
Exactly. And I think I think we'll see Hawkeye return also in 4. Yes.
And he's
because I'm sure his family's gone. You know, there'll be something that will bring him out of it.
Well, and we've everybody, here's the thing, to give Marvel some credit here, is they know they can't hide this shit from paparazzi. They're going to find out. Like, paparazzi's already snapped Jeremy Renner wearing Ronan's pants off on screen somewhere, like where he's behind the scenes. So Ronan is Hawkeye's alter ego in the comic books. Like, he fakes his death and then runs around as Ronan. And the big question mark of who is Ronan, it's Hawkeye.
Like, Ronan the accused?
No. Not
Ronan, Japanese samurai.
Sorry, Ronan.
Master of samurai.
Yeah. Sorry.
Not Ronan, Ronan.
And I was like, are you kidding? How is that possible?
No, I'm with you. It's totally Ronan.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is because Ronan.
I loved it when Ronan fought Godzilla. Ronan.
Yeah.
I can't wait till they have Ronan punch a camel. Well,
so Lee Pace played him in Guardians or whatever.
Lovely.
He is supposed to be in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that
takes place in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes place much earlier. So like, there's not really any movies that this directly affects. Right. Now, I'm really curious about the Netflix series, if this is going to play in, since I keep talking about the events in New York, even into Jessica Jones season 2, they're still mentioning it. So how is this going to play out?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has no relationship with the MCU anymore, which is really tragic because I felt like this movie would have been a great opportunity for Phil Coulson to reveal himself as alive.
But here's the thing. If you still watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what, they're 2 episodes away from their season finale?
I think so, yeah.
And what has this whole season been about? Oh, when the world was destroyed.
Yeah.
And the big thing. So, I mean, I've been thinking since the start of this season, maybe they are going to tie it back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Kree in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Carol Danvers is, canonically, half Kree. Yeah. So technically it was Peter Quill, and now they made him like Xandarian or something. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. But I'm very excited for Captain Marvel's origin story because that, obviously, because of the mid-end credit scene that we saw. Her existence is going to be pivotal, and she can wield the gauntlet. She's one of very few who has the strength.
And I'm sure that's what it's going to be in 4. And that's why I think 4 is going to be, is that since there's not much in between, we obviously saw that she's being beckoned back to Earth.
Right.
And then I think that they'll have to somehow find her, team up with her, and it'll be like the original Avengers. And I even in my notes just mentioned, I think they've talked about how Avengers 4 is going to be the final movie of this generation of the Avengers and stuff. Like, after this, we probably won't see Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, and Cap. And those 4 are still left.
Mm-hmm.
So something's going to happen in the movie. You know, we're talking about, like, oh, they're going to bring all these people back. I think we're going to lose those 4 in this next movie.
Yeah, it might be a trade-off, honestly. Because the people we all thought were going to leave are still here. But I will say this, and this is a spoiler from, like, the comic books and stuff, and the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 had a reference to it. Adam Warlock is somewhere in the universe waiting to come out and unmake reality because he's got that kind of power. Yeah. And I have no idea what is going on with him.
And he can also wield the gauntlet.
Yes.
So
yeah. But he's also certifiably insane, right? Like, I mean, he's nuts.
Depending on when you read him.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And you know, he was even an Easter egg in Volume 1. And then there was his cocoon.
Yeah.
Was in Volume 1, and then it's like busted open, and then we see it's in the end credits sequence of Volume 2.
Yeah.
So he's appeared twice, technically.
Yeah, appeared.
I would believe. Sort of. I would believe.
So what happened to Howard the Duck? You think he's still around?
I know. I was really hoping for Howard the Duck to show up and like do something badass.
I think he got destroyed on Nowhere.
Oh, yeah. He gone.
That's what I think.
That's true, man. Nowhere.
Collector's
no, but he's not on Nowhere anymore. Remember, because when he's in Volume 2, he's moved off.
Yes,
to,
he was. Yeah.
Happy
robot prostitute planet there, whatever that was.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, it's a 50-50 chance that he evaporated with everybody else.
So. Yeah, I'm gonna put my money on that. That fool's still around.
That's just it. You can sort of look every Marvel character we didn't see. Let's flip a coin and figure out, like, so. He's still around?
I was mentally playing that game with all of the next Netflix heroes. So is Luke Cage still alive? Is Jessica Jones still alive? Like,
yeah, and some of these series coming out this year. I think Luke Cage has got a series coming out in August, and I think Daredevil's rumored to be either late fall or possibly early spring. So
I think it's
August.
All right, so
is it June?
June. Season set to premiere June 22nd.
Shit, that's even closer than I thought.
I'm so excited. Luke is my favorite. And Mike Coulter is coming to Alamo City Comic Con. You guys.
Yeah. No one cares.
We're hoping he was going to come there.
we were hoping he was coming to Comic Palooza because they've got Charlie Cox and Kristen Ritter. So if they could get Finn Jones and Mike Coulter.
Nobody cares if Finn Jones shows up.
Yeah, but then you have the whole nobody set. Cares.
Fine. But yeah, Mike Coulter is the bomb as Luke Cage. Yeah. I want to climb that man like a tree.
Okay. So bringing it back.
He's not actually.
Bringing it back. Let's go back.
She took the words out of my mouth.
Let's go back to the end credit scene. How many people in your theater? Half of my theater cheered and went yeah, and then the other half went who?
Who the fuck is that?
Yeah. Who? What's that?
Almost nobody in my theater knew who that was. I screamed because I'm super excited.
There was cheering in mine as well, but very scattered. And then also, like, before it, like, the logo showed up, I was like, man, I was like, who the fuck could he be calling? I was like, Coulson? Are we going to get Coulson back? And then it was like that, and I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
No, I knew it was
that
her.
Man wasn't, he wasn't calling anyone. That was a beeper.
It was a beeper.
but again,
beeper.
But it fits perfectly with the whole idea of her origin being a 90s thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that perfect.
This is what we have to get in contact with her is our space beeper.
Did he text her 911 or beeper 911?
Yeah.
I like that.
It's still a space age beeper because it does like the whole, you know, beepers. That shit, like,
yeah.
You just spell boobs upside down.
With yeah, I was gonna say, it's 2800. Oh, boobs. I gotta go back to Earth. Something's wrong.
Yeah, that was the 90s booty call.
All right, let's jump to the beginning.
Hold on. I want to say because we were talking about theater crowds, and I hated my theater crowd. You guys are all very lucky. What? I'm very envious of your crowds. My crowd last night consisted of a lot of people that didn't know what was going on. A lot of people that at 11 o'clock at night on a Thursday night felt like bringing their newborn babies. This guy to my left, I had a couple that the dude was acting like a man child the whole time, which it's cool to geek out, but to give live commentary during the movie and not use your indoor voice was a bit annoying. Like every time something would happen, he would say something really loud and then go, ooh. I wanted to kill him. Then to my right, we had the Butter Brothers. We had these two older dudes that showed up late. And then like 5 minutes into the movie, you know, when they talk about like they're when they're in Dr. Strange's mansion and they're like, oh, we have to call Steve Rogers. One day, the one guy looks over to the other guy and goes, I think he's talking about the Flash. And like, not even trolling. Like, and I gave no fucks at that point. I laughed. And they looked over at me, and I'm just like, I'm not putting up with this. So later in the movie, it took till the end of the movie when everyone started disappearing that Captain America was there. The one guy looks at the other guy again and goes, the guy with the beard, that's Captain America. I'm like, where the hell are these people? Like,
where have you been the last 10 years?
At that point, I would have been like, you have to get out. You need to get out right now.
You weren't supposed to be in this theater.
No, they should have been seeing like something else. But of course,
I Am Pretty was two theaters down. That's where you want.
Was Super Troopers 2 sold out, guys?
I guess so. They snuck in from they went to go see it, and they theater hopped over to Super Troopers or over to Avengers. But then, so the movie ends, and both of those couples walk out like as soon as the first name shows up on the screen, and I'm like, thank God. So then after the end credits.
I actually had that a guy in our theater, like right in front of us, like the credits start and he gets up, makes this huge thing of stretching because he's like dead center and then walks out. And I'm like, okay, 10 years.
You'll go, noob.
Who walks out during the credits of a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
I don't walk out during the credits of any movie now because of Marvel.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Even like it was, I think Justice League, or who was it? Maybe it's not Justice League. There was one movie and they're like, there's no after credit scenes. Like there's nothing. Don't waste your time. And I was like, no.
Oh, sure. There's not.
Right. There's not. I ain't missing this.
Yeah. It was Ready Player One. I think it was Ready Player One. I was like, there's got to be an end credit scene. Yeah. And I sat through the whole thing.
That actually might have been the movie. It might have been the one that I'm thinking about. I was like, we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Kubo and the two strings. I'll wait till the end, just in case.
Yeah. So I sit through the end credit sequence, and I'm like, "All right, cool. It's time to go. I've got to pee really badly and all that stuff." I'm start walking out, and the Butter Brothers come walking back in, and they're like, "What did we miss?" They like singled me out, and I'm like, "I was so pissed at that point." And I'm never snarky to strangers. Like I always try to be such a nice guy. Oh god, that sounds horrible. But it's just like I'm not going to be impolite. But I was so fed up at that point. Like I just went. Bunch of people died and just walked right out. And they're like, which people? I should have been like, the Flash.
Flash is dead. Awesome. Superman.
So yeah, I envy you guys and your very positive theater experience. I was ready to choke someone out.
I will say there was a person behind me who they were breathing so heavily the whole movie. It sounded like they were snoring. And it was... But then I'd hear them like say something, you know, like not loud enough that it was bothering me, but just enough I could hear them like, blah, 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 blah. I was just like,
so
dude, okay. go to the gym, man. That's just like you're clearly not healthy.
I know you guys all love Paul, and I love Paul. Clearly, I married him, but he has a really bad habit of sort of saying things in response to what happens on the screen in movies. And I let it go. I don't care most of the time. Like it's fun to engage with the movie itself. But in this movie, I was like, you have to shut up. Like, I love you. And I will always love you. But shut the fuck up right now. Like, I'm sorry. But, and so, because he's very much like that too. And he literally at one point, I'll shut up. Because you can't ruin it for people. Like, I've waited 10 years for this trauma, this traumatic experience that I have had. And I know a lot of people feel the same way. Like my girlfriends and I had a Facebook group it was entitled The Russo Brothers Are Sadists. And that was our whole conversation for like the last 24 hours is how we're not okay. We're never going to be okay again, apparently. Forever traumatized.
Until next year, then you'll be
even fine. Then we're gonna be traumatized then too, because you know we're losing.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're gonna lose some big names, but
yeah, we're gonna lose Tony.
I'm gonna be intrigued to see how we lose them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, are they gonna die? I think it's sort of an interesting setup that this whole thing begins with Tony talking about I should get out of this and get married and have a kid.
Mm-hmm. You know, who they even mentioned he even mentions the comic book name of his child as well.
Really? Is it?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That is.
Yeah. But well, I think that
Riri should be. I'm a huge fan.
Iron Man or whatever. What's her name? Ironheart.
I think Riri is amazing and I would love to see her in the movies.
You'd have to introduce her in the next movie. I don't know how else you...
If only there was some young African girl in the movies who was a super genius.
You can't make Shuri Ironheart, all right? Because first of all, Wakandan tech is better than Stark tech, so that doesn't
exactly
even, just become the
exactly.
Black
exactly because we wouldn't want someone to come in and be a lesser Black Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I wonder. Ooh, oh shit. I wonder if in the next movie, if we're going to see Shuri become Black Panther, because she is Black Panther, and if she survived this,
yeah.
Hey,
and technically she's the heir.
Also, and she would be next.
Also, isn't Tony Stark using Wakanda tech for his new suit? Because that was the nanites were introduced with Black Panther in the beads in the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
they don't explicitly say it though.
I think the whole idea is that Tony actually developed it independently.
Yeah,
right. Because remember, technically, to him, T'Challa is an enemy. Like T'Challa sided with Steve Rogers.
That's true.
Eventually, yeah.
Well, yeah.
But Wakanda did open their tech to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at the end of their movie, which took place after Civil War.
We're still not clear how much of the
crossover.
It's actually
is.
Funny because you were talking about how Ant-Man and the Wasp is probably before this. Mm-hmm. And it struck my girlfriend and I were talking about it the other day that actually Black Panther probably takes place before Spider-Man. Because Spider-Man.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because Spider-Man Homecoming is clearly months after Civil War.
That's true.
But Black Panther is like a week after Civil War.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I need an official timeline, Marvel/Disney. If you guys could release one of those and tell me when these fucking
movies
happen.
You're about to hear some clickety-clack of keyboards.
Here we go. So
And while we're talking about it, when does Doctor Strange take place?
That's a good good question.
That's before Civil War. It might be before Age of Ultron. Do you remember?
My personal belief, and I know there's like different things, is that Doctor Strange begins right after the first Avengers movie. Huh. That's my personal belief.
I feel like there might have been a timestamp of 2015 for that movie.
Doctor Strange happens right after Civil War.
It had to happen after Civil War because they did a little blurb where they were talking about the Colonel getting getting his spine snapped, and they wanted Doctor Strange to work on him.
But no, he said. People at home raising his fingers. If you remember in Iron Man 2, when Tony is showing them all the other companies that were trying to make prototype armor suits.
Yeah, it's Hammer. And Hammer Tech is trying.
And Hammer basically has one guy who tries to turn and twists himself around and snaps.
Oh my God, that is the most horrifying moment in all of it to you.
Yes.
In my mind.
But here's the thing. If we're saying that the name drop in Doctor Strange, the colonel who got killed in some experimental suit,
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't die.
Well, he broke his back.
Yeah.
Right. At this point, why would we be referring to War Machine as an experimental an experimental battle suit?
Yeah, it's defined battle suit at this point.
He's been War Machine for like 5 years at this point. Public.
That would explain, because according to this, Phase 3 has Captain America Civil War, and then Doctor Strange, then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and then Spider-Man Homecoming, then Thor Ragnarok, and then Black Panther.
But see, that makes no sense.
That doesn't make sense. Maybe they're not in order. Maybe it's just this is all Phase 3.
That may be the order in which they were released.
Yeah.
Yes.
I totally believe that the end of Doctor Strange is after Civil War. Okay, here's the question.
Didn't mean to sound like
how long?
Funny, sorry.
Really? How long was Doctor Strange at Tamaraj? Was he there for a week?
That's a good question.
Thousands of years, according to the comic books.
Well,
yeah.
But that's it. If my personal belief, is that he walked in right after the Avengers, because I think also at the beginning of the movie we get a shot of Avengers Tower in New York at some point. But that is when he crashed his car. That the soldier who broke his back, they're referring to the guy in Iron Man 2, he wipes out in the car, spends all those months trying to fix his hands, burns through his fortune, ends up at Tamaraj. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He ends up with the Ancient One, practices studies for a year, 2 years, 3 years, very accelerated from everyone else because of his photographic memory. And by the end of the movie, when he takes over as the master of the New York Sanctum, mm-hmm. now we're at like Civil War.
Huh.
So that when Thor shows up for Ragnarok, yes, I am now here. That's just my belief.
Interesting.
And I know because I remember talking with a couple people on my fan page about it right after Doctor Strange came out, and somebody pointed out that the car he wrecks, I can't remember what it was. It's a very expensive car.
Yeah.
but it's a 2013 car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe Stephen Strange would still be driving a 2013 car in 2016?
That's interesting. I'm on board. I co-sign, and that means something.
That's just me. That's totally me. There's official timelines that say no, he was there for like 2 weeks. I'm like, nah.
There's not necessarily official timelines though. I think the only real official timeline only to Age of Ultron. I think since then they have not been clear on what order anything happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find something, anything, and I've got a lot that even have like TV shows and stuff, but like some of these are putting Black Panther after Homecoming, and like maybe the events of Black Panther take place over a longer amount of time, but that definitely kicks off with him getting back from like the whole UN thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, like right. No question.
Right.
So
obviously his father has died.
Yeah, we didn't take a year to crown you the new king.
Exactly. Yeah. So
I agree with that. Okay, so since we're here, we've talked a lot about the interconnectings, and we talked a lot about the end, but let's talk about some things that the comedy of the film. What did you guys? I mean, pretty much for me, everything they know how to do it. They know how to balance the loss with some comedic timing. You know, I mean, everything was pretty funny, from Star-Lord's jealousy, you know, to Hulk's performance anxiety. They just nailed it.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, and I mean, as always, Iron Man's little quips to people, the little like name drop, like the way he just names people, and then also to see that from Star-Lord where he calls him Grimace.
Yeah,
like all that stuff. And then what I love about this movie especially is the all these people that we've watched over again 10 years of all these different movies and universes, people not interacting, all of a sudden interacting with each other. Yeah. Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. Like, hi, I'm Peter Parker. Hi, I'm Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our made-up names? I'm Spider-Man. Like, that's such a good little moment. And then also the whole like something about Flashdance. Oh, that's the greatest movie of all time. Like,
it never was.
Yeah. Tell me, have you seen this old movie Aliens?
Like, oh God!
That reference good was awesome,
and again, it pays off.
Man, the banter between Tony Stark and Quill also is just that is something I had been waiting for a long time.
I loved Thor and Rocket.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my Rabbit. God! Yes,
you're Rabbit. Clearly the captain of this ship,
Bunny,
quick Rabbit. Yeah. Come with me. Yeah.
And then, one of the best surprises in the movie for me also was Peter Dinklage as the dwarf giant.
Yes. Dwarf giant? Yeah.
Yes. Like, I'm feeling like, man, okay, it'd be cool to be in a movie and be a giant, but I have to imagine, like, if you are a dwarf and then you're a giant in the movie, like, fuck yeah.
I think the PC term is little person now. I don't think you're supposed to call them dwarves.
But he's a dwarf in the movie.
Well, like, right.
Right. Yeah. He's playing a dwarf, but the dwarf is a giant.
The race of dwarf in the movie,
Sorry, I'll clarify. Yes.
No, how awesome was that? I loved
it. It was such a great, it was like, holy shit.
Along those lines. So remember in Thor Ragnarok, there's this little fan service moment when Hel is passing through Odin's vault and there is a fake Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is that just a joke or is it reference to the fact, did Odin know that that gauntlet had been created? Was he aware of that? Like, because the mold would have had to have already been created, you know, to be there as a fake.
But you know the gauntlet is actually in the first Thor movie.
Yeah. It was when they walked through the hall
all along. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if we're going to say that,
real gauntlet?
Is it the real one or not?
Yeah,
I thought that would also.
Did it get stolen in one of the movies?
Did it get stolen out of one of the scenes?
I thought someone yanked it.
I mean, Loki yanks everything, so I don't know.
Yeah, I thought like maybe Loki grabbed it or
that
something.
That trickster.
I don't remember. I feel like at some point someone grabbed it.
I have a feeling. Okay, I'm gonna play my Hollywood card here. You know, I used to do a lot of like screenwriting interviews and stuff like that before my fiction writing career took off.
We know that. I don't know. Winders, did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, did you?
Yes, know? Yes. I did a ton of. I wrote for a magazine called Creative Screenwriting. I wrote for Cinema Blend, the website. A couple other things that I did here and there, and I got to interview a ton of screenwriters. And at one point, I got to talk with Justin Theroux, who wrote the second Iron Man movie, and he and I did a big interview. And I also got to interview Zach Penn, who wrote the Hulk movie, the one with Ed Norton. And one of the things Justin Theroux brought up was when he was doing Iron Man 2, which was the third Marvel movie, that was the point when Marvel suddenly started to realize, okay, we got to start being a little more serious about this. And one of the things he brought up was like, there's a ton of Easter eggs they threw into Iron Man just for fun. Exactly. And there's a ton of stuff they threw into the Hulk just for fun. Like the fact that Rick Jones comes up as, do you remember the list of names in the beginning of Thor, of Hulk?
I do. Do they still consider that version, that Hulk, part of the actual MCU?
They're actually, they still reference it.
Yeah, they do. And
I mean, Tony is in that film.
Yeah,
so.
I think they do also. And there's, because technically Marvel still doesn't own the Hulk, which is why he'll never get a Marvel Hulk standalone movie. He's still owned by.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think he's still owned by Columbia, I think. Yeah.
Paramount.
Paramount.
But.
Yeah, and but, so that's why. So you've got Ross, what's his name? Thunderbolt Ross, who is the, he was in this movie. He was in this one. He's been in the other ones. He's like the General Ross or whatever he is now. Or
Well, now Secretary of State Ross.
Yeah, now yes, he's Secretary of State.
Yeah, and that's why, and that's why they don't call him like Thunderbolt Ross and stuff or whatever anymore, because they did in that Hulk movie, is because they technically don't own him, but they can get around it by, he's had a promotion and it's the same actor and all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah, that's apparently how they get around it.
That means that they can probably technically make him the Red Hulk too, if they really wanted to.
Yeah, which is, they have some deal with Columbia, I guess, where they can use the Hulk still, but that's, I mean, we'll probably never see a standalone Mark Ruffalo Hulk movie.
Don't tell me that. You're my favorite.
I mean, they've already said that.
Let's talk about Bruce. Hang on. Let's talk about Bruce Banner, because I loved what they did for him for this movie. They frightened the Hulk sufficiently so that he refused to come out, which gave Bruce Banner front and center opportunity to actually be a hero in these films, in this film, which that I was really happy to see that, because too often it's lazy writing to just depend on the fact that the Hulk can come out and kind of save the day, right? We have a Hulk. Well, in this scenario, that's not enough. And Bruce is actually more useful mind than Hulk would have been for his might. So I just liked seeing Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner for a little bit, because Bruce is a way more interesting character, in my opinion.
Oh,
he deserves a standalone.
Well, of course,
So I was really
especially happy.
And also, they put him in a Hulkbuster, which how fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to say. Especially when he first started trying to walk and he's like tripping all over the place.
So I got this.
I've got to admit, though.
Is like, are you serious? No.
I was really, really hoping we would see the Hulk come ripping out of the Hulkbuster.
That, me too.
He did too.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, at the end of the movie, he's still in the Hulkbuster, and there's that scene in the trailers of them all running, and Hulk is running with them. So maybe.
But okay, I've seen people like already complaining about that. Like, but we saw the Hulk in this trailer. Is that shot actually in the movie anywhere?
No,
probably not. Like, and even without the Hulk, it's a misdirect.
Yeah,
because if you didn't see the Hulk, you would be going, well, where the fuck is the Hulk?
Yeah,
right.
Any of this?
So yeah, if you saw the Hulkbuster, you would just assume it was Tony.
Exactly. Well, and people did. The Hulkbuster is in some of the trailers and stuff, and so there was like, oh shit, you know. But yeah, if you didn't have, they just it through, man. They just put them in because why not?
Well, they shoot scenes specifically for trailers now, so it's not necessary.
I think it was important
to be in the next movie.
Yeah, it was important to do it because of the fact that you didn't want to give everything away, and they did it. You know, I think it was smart. I'm not upset about it. I really enjoyed what I got.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah.
You know?
I wish they had given more screen time to the conversation between and Shuri, because that would have been awesome. Because Shuri is technically smarter than Bruce. But not necessarily in all ways. Like, she just has access to more technology than he did. Like, he didn't know that technology existed, which is why she sort of dragged him away. He created Vision. I I just want to see them like geek out to, like, because again, let's remember that Bruce Banner is the fourth smartest person in the Marvel universe, in like the 616 Marvel. He might be like this to you, because Reed Richards.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up a little bit there, Windrus.
Hello, I love Bruce Banner. And that got really close to my.
And that's all. That's all we needed.
Was that?
Can we sidetrack back to something real quick?
Yes.
You're talking about funny moments and everything like that. Oh, yeah, I want to say someone who stole the scene every time they were in it. Once again, Drax. Drax is fantastic, and when
I've been standing here for an hour.
Yeah, and he's like slowly eating the chip or like the. The food, whatever he's eating.
Whatever. I think that, like,
are you yawning? Like, I'm laying out the plan right now. Are you yawning? Yawning? Oh, no, I started to on that when you said start talking about the plan.
What did he say? What is where's Gamora? Who is Gamora?
I'll do you one
why
better.
Is Gamora?
Why is Gamora? Yeah.
Also, my movements are so slow, they are imperceptible.
The fact that his last words were Quill and not the name of his wife. I thought that he was going to say his wife's name when he was a...
Yeah, that's very perceptive. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I thought maybe he would reference something about, like, yeah, seeing his wife. Maybe not saying her name, but just being like...
But that tells me that what happens to them is not the same as dying. They don't die. They cease to ever have existed.
Yeah.
And it's different, you know.
Do they just disappear? Because
no, they just disappear.
They just disappear.
Yeah.
Right, because things that happen because they were there.
Yeah. Because are we going to go to the Captain Marvel movie and all of a sudden people are vanishing because they ceased to exist?
Yeah. No, I think
fucking crazy.
That would be nuts. That would be nuts.
It makes me think of Looper.
We are approaching 1 hour, so here's what I want to do. I want you guys to pick out the most badass part of the movie that you think, and then we'll start wrapping it up with what our final thoughts are. We'll give it a score. So for me personally, my favorite scene, my favorite shot was when Thor came back. He comes back. Everybody cheered for that. But when he went all lightning and every single one of his globes on his chest lit up and his eyes and everything, and he just went ape shit. I lost my mind. That was the coolest scene.
I leaned over to Ed at that point because I was cheering. I was like, fuck yeah! And I leaned over and I was like, when the fuck did Thor become my favorite character? And he was like,
Ragnarok.
And I was like, yeah.
It definitely wasn't Dark World or whatever.
He was awesome in Ragnarok. He was awesome in this. And seeing him just, show up. When you saw that, was it Stormbreaker?
Mm-hmm.
Stormbringer, whatever it was, like
Stormbreaker,
just like ripping technically people.
Beta Ray Bill's axe.
I'm shit. Ooh.
Yeah,
yeah. So
I went crazy for that. That was like one of my little geek out moments.
Yeah,
that when they announced, like, yes, and this axe will be called Stormbreaker, and I was like,
yeah. when that showed up and just started.
Isn't
ripping
that what he
people.
Started carrying after he was worthy of Mjolnir? Like when in the comics, when new Thor, female Thor, as they said, starts carrying Mjolnir. He starts carrying Stormbreaker, doesn't he?
Does he?
He's carrying axe. I assumed it was Stormbreaker. That's just it.
In the comics, Stormbreaker is Beta Ray Bill's hammer. And his hammer is like hammer on the front and sort of axe blade on the back.
Which is kind of what he had.
But I thought this one was much more axey than hammery.
I think in the comics he's carrying Yarnborg, which is I don't know, it's almost the same act.
It probably is.
All right, anyway.
All right, so we'll move on. We'll go to Peter. Peter, what was your favorite moment? Like, what was the most thing that you just jaw-dropping moment for you in the film?
The Thor moment was pretty cool, I have to admit, but the thing that probably, I'm going to say it's a tie, as far as just awesome, fun, fan-thrilled moment. One would have to be, which just sort of threw me for a couple minutes, and then I was like,
Go back and repeat that, because you broke up.
You kind of froze for a second.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let me lean forward into the mic.
Profess your love for Banner.
As I was saying,
I love Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner is my. I think probably a tie. My two favorite fan moments, because I think the Thor moment is just the big one. It was just such a fantastic moment when Thor shows up, but the Red Skull showing up was just fantastic because Avengers is one of my favorite movies, and Hugo Weaving. And I know this wasn't Hugo Weaving playing the Red Skull in this.
That
but
was not Hugo.
Yeah. It wasn't. No, but that is.
There he goes again.
Yeah, he froze up.
We lost him.
Interpretation of the Red Skull. I thought it was such a great villain.
Oh, we keep you keep freezing.
Come back. Like, this was so fantastic.
Pete, we're losing you a little bit. So we can't hear you. You're breaking up
the
really
big
bad.
When Bucky, the Winter Soldier, grabs Rocket and picks him up, and they're doing the little spin around, shooting at everything that comes near the.
I think it's trying to catch up with what he's saying.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's what it feels like.
I don't know. I'm
gonna try to.
The Rocket has been like spinning shot at every single movie he's been in.
Is he still talking about Hugo?
No, he's talking about Rocket there.
And I'm suddenly losing everything here.
Yeah, we're losing.
Yeah, we're having
you,
a
bud.
Meltdown here.
I wonder what the
delay is. You're frozen on screen, so maybe come back around to him.
Yeah, we're
Wait, are you back?
Is he back?
That's all movement.
He said he lost
all
sound.
Lost all sound.
Oh no.
Uh-oh. But now I'm back.
Yay!
Hooray! Hey?
Okay.
Tell your girlfriend to turn off Netflix.
Hey, Pete, the last time that we talked, you said you were gonna get upgraded internet.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened?
It's not really out yet, but I actually on a house.
Oh no.
Probably gonna have new internet.
Yeah, we keep losing you, bud.
You wanna kick it from the call and bring it back in?
Yeah.
Which is sad because I've said a lot of really fantastic stuff.
Get out of here.
Can they hear that, like, leave music? They're like,
yeah, hey, probably. They'll hear it.
He's going to be like, what happened?
Let me call him back here. All right, hopefully this cleared it up. Pete,
Hello?
Can you hear us? Peter.
Looks frozen again.
He does. Okay.
And he's just like, no, I'm just mad.
He's just staring. How dare you hang up on me? Okay.
I'm just having a staring contest with him right now.
No.
Oh, there he goes. He's back.
No. Let's let his internet catch up. Kev, what was your favorite moments, man?
The ones that really made me smile. I mean, like I said, the Drax, the Guardians of the Galaxy moments are really good. I am just, man, just letting it all happen. I mean, just watching it. The ending was really, I was a really big fan. I was telling you guys before we went into the recording that the fact that I was when Thanos is staring up at the sun, like the sun coming up, I was like, please go to credits, please go to credits, please let it end like Empire Strikes Back, please let it give you like a dark ending.
Don't say that. That's exactly what it was Empire Strikes.
Yeah, but that's what I want right now. But I wanted that because I was like, that's so different from what Marvel has normally taught us to see, because every Marvel movie always ends up, you know, it's got a funny part, it's got a sad part, but then it always has a resolution and
has
it's
a always a happy ending.
So having this one end on such a bummer was out of left field. Like, I, you know, the whole time watching it, I was like, oh, you know, Thanos is gonna do his thing, he's gonna destroy a lot of stuff, but in the end he's gonna fall. And to see him actually prosper at the end, I was like, this is awesome, because it's something I didn't expect at all.
Especially with them dropping the part one, part two thing originally, when they said like, oh, it's going to be Infinity War part one, part two. And then they're like, no, it's not going to be part two. We're going to do something else. And we're going to do it all in one movie. And so when it was like, okay, well, that's going to happen. Cool. Then Thanos isn't going to win. And then it was like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The big shocking part was when Thor came in with the axe, hit him with the axe. And of course, they destroyed the what was it? The Soul Stone? Was it the Soul? No. Yeah. Or Mind. Yeah. It was the Mind or the Soul?
The Mind Stone.
It was the Mind Stone. Yeah. So they destroy the Mind Stone. I'm like, okay, cool. Obviously, he's not going to win. And then the axe. And then all of a sudden, he comes back. And I was like, oh, shit. Uh-oh.
Well, he has the Time Stone. As soon as Thanos got the Time Stone, I was like, this is over.
Yeah,
this
all bets are off.
This is it. This is the end. Because once he's got the Time Stone, there's no stopping him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Steven gave him that Time Stone, I thought to myself, first of all, this is very out of character for Steven Strange. Like, he doesn't give a shit about Tony Stark. He must have seen in that one future out of 14 million that the only way to save the world, the universe, is that Tony Stark lives in this moment.
Had to save him.
So he made this call for the endgame.
Yeah, so we'll see. No, we'll see him.
He keeps saying, like, he said that, you know, a couple times. And even if he's like, this is the only way it could be, and like,
yeah,
he. I think he saw past what happened in this movie. You know, I think he's saw everything that we're gonna see in the next movie.
Close to the successful option as possible, but even then, there's a huge margin.
Yeah, and I hope whatever happens in the next movie, when he surely reappears, he. It was like, aha, thank God.
Yeah.
You made the right decision.
Man. I got you on the path. Thank you all for bringing it back home. Like, oh my God.
All right. So let's try to get back to Peter. Peter, can you hear us now?
I've been able to hear you guys all along. Can you hear me?
We can finally hear you. Yes, we can hear you. You're a little out of sync from your, when we hear you to the, but that's fine. We'll treat it.
No, that's just me. That's how I'm.
I mean, I know one time we did an interview, we had you turn your camera off and it fixed the audio. I don't know if that would help in this case, but that is always.
You want to try?
But I like seeing his face.
I mean, I do too. But like, if it helps with the audio and
stuff,
that's
fine. I agree.
And now I look like a space invader.
Yeah, a little bit.
You turned into a controller, Peter.
All right, so Peter, you were saying that your favorite moment, it was a tie. We heard. The first one was, of course, the Thor thing, and then the Red Skull, right?
I think the Thor thing is probably everybody's favorite bit. It was obviously, it's one of those well-scripted, directed moments of when Thor shows up, and like you said, when he starts glowing and everything turns blue lightning, that's just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It's a true story. All right, Windrus, what about you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, favorite moment. I mean, yes, certainly Thor's appearance, crowd there. There's a couple of crowd pieces. I mean, I did like seeing Bruce in the Hulkbuster, but I have to say one of my favorite, well, other than the first moment you see Steve Rogers, because that earned a lot of
everyone cheered for that.
Big cheer in our
great moment. Well, yeah. But other than that, also I have to say fight with where Scarlet Witch, Okoye, and Natasha Romanoff are like triple teaming, like people on the battlefield. That is such a fucking badass moment. Like, they are unbelievable. I would happily watch an entire movie of them together because they're amazing, you know, and they're funny and they kind of banter back and forth while also murdering lots of what look like minions. I don't know. I don't know, that was one of my favorite scenes, just fight scenes and moments in the film. And then quite a few moments with Wanda Maximoff, because I have a soft spot for her.
You don't say.
Well, yeah, I cosplay as her, right? Like, so, I mean, not that version of her, but certainly a version of her. And she has a character that is hallmarked by her suffering. Like, in the comics and MCU, her defining characteristic is how she persists even though she suffers all the time. And so watching her and the relationship she had built with Vision and the suffering and the sacrifice was just really, I thought, one of the best parts of that movie. Like, it was just, I mourned her. I'm still mourning her. And the fact that she seems so happy to be unmade, to stop existing because Vision was fun, you know? It's sad, you know? I really care about her. So I thought that moments with her were really impressive and they really showed her power, even though there's a lot of feedback online about how
She flies. There's,
they don't understand what her power is because they didn't make it clear what her power ever was in MCU. And it's not the same, right, as the comics. So, yeah,
that's because she's not a mutant. Because she's, yeah, that's what I was going to say, because they can't say mutant.
She's not a mutant, right. She's her powers are from the Mind Stone. Like, experimentation with the Mind Stone led to her powers. That's what they say. So anyway, so those are my favorite. Also, the moment when Groot sacrifices part of his arm to become the handle of the axe. I loved it. I loved that moment. Doug,
Side note about that, Hasbro dropped this horrible spoiler because you could already find that toy in stores. Like today, you could find that axe along with a picture of Thor with both of his eyes. So
I knew about the eye thing, but I was going to the impression that someone was going to use the time stone to somehow get his eye back.
Yeah. Although the way he got his eye back was hilarious.
So epic.
Yeah. Because I didn't realize that the eyes were different colors. And so I heard about the toy and stuff, and I was like, okay, so someone may be going back in time and like maybe getting his hammer back and maybe getting his eye back as well.
Yeah.
Could get the hair back, though, apparently.
Yeah. Doug,
what was your favorite? Yeah, this is tough because I have a lot of like tiny favorite moments and stuff. Like Peter Parker always.
Hey, like, by the
every
way,
every time he talks to somebody, hey, it's so funny.
Before you go on, I'll make this real quick. My son.
You had to eat crow, man.
I ate so much crow because for the past 2 months he's been saying, like, they announced that, oh, he's getting a new suit, Iron Man suit, and then Colin comes to me, he goes, that's the Iron Spider suit, and I was like, no, it's not. And he goes, yes, it is. I go, it doesn't have the
arachnid legs
coming out of the back. And he goes, it will. And I go, I said, listen, Colin, I will eat crow if it happens, but if it doesn't happen, I don't think it's going to happen. And he goes, okay. And just that smugness. And then he showed me a toy, and I go, Colin, don't show me that toy. They do this all the time. They add, it's different alternatives and everything. He goes, it's called the Iron Spider, Dad. And I go, I don't want anything to do. If it doesn't happen in the movie, it's not real. And then it happened in the movie, and this motherfucker turns to me and just smiles and goes, huh. And I go, all right, you're right.
So where do you find crow in Texas this time of year?
Everywhere,
Kev.
Hell yeah.
Everywhere.
Side Texas, of the road, man.
Yeah. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds.
Do you want road
step
crow?
Outside.
I thought you were going to get it a little customized.
So, okay. So, Doug, you can continue.
I don't know what I was saying. I don't know. All those moments. Also, Teenage Groot was a lot funnier than I thought he was going to be. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be, like, really annoying. Like, his scene at the end of Volume 3, where they're having that back and forth between Peter Quill and him, where he's, like, playing the game, and he's, you know, that whole...
And
so, yeah, so funny.
Who was?
But also, I was like, man, I can't do a whole fucking movie of this. But it was so good. Just him rolling his eyes and just, like, never looking up from the screen. And then I love the, like, that's my friend, Tree. I am Groot. I am Steve Rogers.
Yes! Yes!
So funny. I don't know, man. There's so many just good moments. And the humor is what really stood out. I will say, kind of transitioning it into, like, our final thoughts of the movie and stuff. What I love about this movie, and what I've loved about the MCU recently, has been their development of the bad guys. And that this movie was a Thanos movie. And we got to see why he's doing the things that he's doing, and like what his drive is behind it, and how he rationalizes the decisions he's making to a point where you're almost like, yeah, okay. Like, I see right. It. I don't like it, but I can see it.
Hang on. So I've had a few of my friends have been posting about how they empathize with Thanos, and they, at one point they were almost rooting for him. And I'm like,
never exactly. Rooting for him, but that's the thing about these Marvel movies.
I understand why he did what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I don't agree with it. Yeah, he was not right. It was, but they, you know, and I'm gonna harp on DC a little bit. Like, they don't get it. They give you the, like these like was it Steppenwolf or whatever, and you're like, I don't give a shit about anything you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why you're doing it. You try to explain it in that like little animation thing at the very beginning of the movie that was terrible. I still don't get why you're doing this. But in these movies, you go back to Spider-Man, like Vulture was one of the best villains we've had in an MCU movie in a while, because he was like, he was just good. And again, he's doing it for his family. You don't agree with what he's doing, but you're like, I see why you're doing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other one? Killmonger in Black Panther. Same thing. I don't agree Killmonger, with what you're doing, but God damn it, you have a point.
He's like, one of the most sympathetic villains I've ever seen.
Yeah. And so to go into this movie again, and again, you know, they have the luck of having 10 years to set up this movie where we know everyone else, that they get to focus on the villain and you get to learn why he's doing what he's doing. And you get to actually, like, you know, he had his own like character driven scenes. You know, we don't necessarily seen a lot of these other comic booky movies
actually,
and stuff.
Cut in with one thing for that.
Shred. Go ahead.
Well, actually, this is my only flaw with the movie. It's his lieutenants.
Yeah, the nothing for them. Yeah. His other children or whatever.
Children of
whatever them. They are. They're just these, these the characters children. who sort of come out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
who are better than all the Avengers. Mm-hmm. They're stronger than the Hulk. They're better sorcerers than Doctor Strange. They're better fighters than Black Widow. And we've never seen any of them before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can agree to that. But at the same time, we have seen Gamora, and she's like the most feared woman in the galaxy. So if he trained her and he trained them, we can assume that they're probably on par with her
skills. It has, but I guess one of the things that sort of was just the coming out of nowhere things. And it actually struck me that
That's fair. I almost saw them as just like kind of like cannon fodder in a way. Like, yeah, they're posing a threat, but we all know they're going
to
die.
I'd like to see at some point go back and look at the other films and see if there's a scene where Thanos is, if they're standing around Thanos or, you know,
I don't
like,
know if they are.
So yeah. if they're anywhere in these in the MCU before this.
No.
Speaking of
they
flaws
were,
in yeah, the movie, were. Like the one flaw issue that I have is that battle at Wakanda. I mean, come on. We've got T'Challa, who's a king and a strategist. We've got Steve Rogers, who's technically, I think he should be like a general at this point. Like his knowledge of strategy is unsurpassed because of his longevity and his military training. We've got Bucky. We've got all these people who understand strategy, battle strategy on the field. Koye, everybody. And yet that is the most like random, like fly by the seat of your pants kind of fight. Let's fight all the pawns and not the actual damage dealers. Like they didn't actually have any strategy for that battle.
Well, I mean, think of it. Like it's just, focus. I mean, they're being overrun by them. There's so many. I mean, you saw that and it's just like,
but they knew they were coming. Like they should have just taken out the two children of Thanos first things. The rest of them weren't really threats. Like, yes, there was a large number of them, but they weren't really threats to Vision in that sense. I don't know. Like, I feel like it was very poorly strategized the way they did that. And it's like they were buying time, but at the same time, they could have actually, obviously, as we saw, they killed both of those children of Thanos in that battle, and they could have done that faster and then had less of an issue with the...
Well, I mean, you think that just because they die, those little things die, and that's, you know, probably not the case.
No, I'm not saying that, but if they had killed those two children of Thanos fast enough, they would never have deployed those upon things. And they certainly wouldn't have had them keep coming. Like, they were telling them what to do. Like, they were directing them. Those things were mindless. They were throwing themselves at the barrier.
Yeah, but you also have them rushing at you. So what are you going to do? Just say, okay, well, let them pass us. We're going to go after...
You know, I'm like, telling you the strategy should have...
But you like, have...
Steve
you
Rogers
only have,
did not have any kind of strategy.
You
they
only
sat
have
there
so many time,
the battle
so much time
to
for...
come to them. All right? Peter, know. Back me up here. Like, there was poor strategy in that battle.
I don't think there was, but I also... as from a filmic point of view and a storytelling point of view, I also know that strategy can be really boring.
All right.
And I think they thought that
there's no threat if there's too much strategy.
I thought that they thought that the dome would save them as well.
I was kind of honest when that first ship comes down and slams into the dome.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're setting up, where they're just like, it slams in the dome and it doesn't, like, the dome, it doesn't do any damage to it.
They knew they were going to get overwhelmed. They didn't have the initiative. They didn't take any initiative cutting the head off of the serpent, so to speak.
I should have just kept opening and closing that gate. All right, 20 more?
Okay, 20 more? Close it up.
Okay, 20 more?
But if
before it got to that point, they should have gone out there. They walk up to that barrier with those children of Thanos. They could have taken them on right then, focused all of the power of all the people that were on the battlefield on those two people, and have.
But then we wouldn't have a movie.
That is true. Then we would have won.
An end of movie.
Saying, Steve Rogers is better at strategy than what. Moment led him.
We killed all the children of Thanos and then went out for shawarma.
Yeah. All right, so Doug,
I hope they end number four with them all at some like shawarma place in Wakanda.
paying respects to the originals. All right, Doug, let's wrap it up. Since you kind of went into your final thoughts of it, we'll stick with you. Give us your final thoughts and your score out of five.
Okay. I've said this nonstop pretty much since last night, that this is how you do a fucking team-up movie. Mm-hmm. It never felt too busy. It never felt like, even though there was so many people in this movie, it never felt crowded. Everyone got their fair share. And while maybe I would have liked to see more of certain characters and stuff, it's not, you know, it wasn't like, God, man, there was too much Tony Stark. Man, there was too much like Bruce Banner. I never felt that way. And the story flowed well. The pacing was great. And I don't know. This movie ended on a really like sad note, and it kind of reminds me of the Last Jedi, where it kind of had the same thing where, man, they just got fucked bad. Mm-hmm. But everyone walked away from that one feeling really disappointed because it's not how they thought it was going to go. But like this, I don't know. They Marvel somehow did it right. Like they got fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, I love this movie. Like it's the best. I think it's the best out of the last 10 years. Easily one of the best. And I think it's because they found that balance of all the heroes together sharing the big screen and us getting to see a lot of them just whoop ass. Mm-hmm. And they have their funny moments and do the things that Marvel does well. So I give it a 5 out of 5, man. Nice. Great movie.
We'll go to the guests. Windrus, we'll start with you.
Oh, I can't wait. Is it a scale of 5 or a scale?
Scale of 5. Scale 5. Okay. Well, final thoughts.
I love this movie. I actually really want to see it again because there's so much going on that I am still processing. I'm still processing on a sort of an intellectual level, emotional level, because the loss is severe here, and it is the culmination of 10 years of emotional investment in characters that I love. I genuinely have loved my whole life. So to see, I mean, I thought they were all really well done. I thought that the behavior was very in character with pretty much everybody. It was so jarring. Like, I don't know if I can say I love it. So hurtful. But I think it is a triumph in the Marvel Universe. I think it has accomplished so much as far as storytelling goes. And the fact that it can hurt me that much when I have 26 years of comic book history under my belt, having been collecting comic books for most of my life. I think that says a lot, you know. I think the only thing I would have wanted more, I have been desperately waiting through Thor Ragnarok and this film for them to finally address the trauma that Bruce Banner has experienced by being trapped in Hulk's body for 2 years, you know, 2+ years. So I really would have liked to have seen some of that, but honestly, it doesn't, the fact that it's not there doesn't detract film. It's just my preference about that character because I love him so much. Seriously, one of the only two Marvel movies I have openly sobbed in, the other one being, as we all know, sobbed uncontrollably in that film, and I did so as well in this one, Peter's death, because nobody should ever have to watch Peter Parker die like that. So that was awful and great. So anyway, 5 out of 5. I'll see it again and cry again, and I'm just really wanting the next film. Like, it leaves me wanting the next film so badly because I feel like it's an open wound right now, and I just want to heal it. So that's my review.
Peter?
5 out of 5, no question. There's somebody with almost 40 years of comics under my belt.
Ah, he beats me.
And honestly, I've joked about this on Twitter. You might have seen one of the very first Marvel comics I ever bought. 2-in-1 where Thanos first died. So Thanos has been the big bad in the Marvel universe forever for me. There's absolutely nothing that I wanted going into this movie that I didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hoped for, that I wanted to see, everything I wanted addressed. It was at least touched on, which is kind of one of the wonderful things, because there's so many issues between all these characters, and to have every one of them, we're not going to ignore the fact that, Asha and Bruce kind of had a history, and we're not going to ignore that. That Bruce has been out of touch and has no idea what's been going on. That it was just fantastic. I'm probably going to see it again, maybe a third time, and then you can watch that a bunch of times. And then my eye is, I want to go see the next movie tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least we don't have to wait too long. We've got we've got until only 1 year instead of having to wait in the normal 2. So
yeah, May 3rd, 2019. Oh my God! Please fucking fix this,
Kev. Kev.
I mean, I'm with the majority here, man. I mean, it's just, it was a movie that has been building up for us. You know, being 37, this took up, 10 years of my life, and, being really, especially like coming from this before the MCU, you'd see like these one-off Marvel movies or just comic book movies in general. And you're like, okay, I guess that was all right. I mean, they did an all right job. Like, just, it was okay. But then when everything started coming together with the Marvel, like the MCU, man, it's just like, you become so emotionally invested in it that you're watching movies that you didn't expect for characters you didn't like. Honestly, right off the bat, if you would have told me I was going to go see an Ant-Man movie, I'd be like, I don't know who Ant-Man is, nor do I.
Guardians of the Galaxy? You're like, who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah, and a couple of weeks ago, we did our top 5 Marvel movies, and Guardians of the Galaxy, my top 1. And it's just like, I didn't expect any of this stuff. And thankfully, like, they did such a great job with casting and staying true to what they were and being able to make the best for what they could, despite selling off weird parts of their, comic universe to like Fox and Sony and stuff like that, but still being able to make a very successful universe from it. This movie was the culmination of that, and it was the payoff. As a wrestling fan, WrestleMania is our payoff, for all the bullshit they put us through for the year. And this was like my WrestleMania for Marvel, where it's just like everything finally paid off and it was beautiful. I didn't even know there was gonna be a second one, so I went into this fully expecting like to say goodbye to, once again, the original Avengers. And so even I was put for a swerve when all of this stuff happened at the end. So I'm really excited and I'm still invested in it. And you're right, we all come out of this kind of like scarred and kind of like a little bit broken. So it's, the first thing I did, I was up till like 3 a.m. just like looking up fan theories and just trying to find out everything I could about, what people thought of it. And it's just like, to make a movie make you do that, I think that's an instant classic. I'm 5 out of 5, obviously. Yeah. But man, yeah, it's one of those movies I'm gonna go see a couple more times. I think I'm gonna go see it again on Sunday. So
I'm a little hard pressed because I give the movie a 5 out of 5. I was hit, it's just an onslaught of just amazing. I'm gonna need to see it a second time, maybe even a third time, just to catch all the references, to catch everything that's said, because right from the beginning, from the get-go, it just hits you in the gut and it does not let up. Yes, you get some character scenes where they're talking, but those don't last long enough. Right before, it just punches you right back in the face. Like, it's just scene after scene after scene. I agree with the pacing. It was great. It was wonderful. The characters, the Russo brothers did a wonderful job of representing every character in their own way and how they would be. I think that, you know, you see the Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that when they're shown and it goes space, you know, it's a good, it's funny. But the song that's playing was the same song that was on the Zune at the end of the movie. And so, like, to have all this stuff kind of come together, from it's really smart, and it was really a lot of fun. You know, what bothers me is I wish that I could feel like Windrus and Kevin at the end of this, saying that they're heartbroken and they're left, you know, feeling cold and everything. I just don't feel that same weight at the end of this movie. Just because of, like I said in the beginning of this, that I already know that they're coming back. Like, everyone's coming back. How they're going to do it, that's what I'm interested in. But I feel like, kind of once again, the struggle from Marvel is that I've never really... there hasn't been any consequences with these characters. And I thought when Tony got stabbed, I went, no, they won't. Like, holy shit, they're not going to do this. And when they didn't, I felt kind of sad. And not like because I hate the character or anything, but because of the fact that I was like, oh my God, finally, like, we have a concept, like something actually, like something big went down. And so I left the movie very satisfied. It was a sad ending and a sad note, and I'm very excited for the next ones. But I also don't feel like there's any real consequences to the actions. And maybe that'll change in the next one with Doug's theory that we lose all the originals.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some people that I don't think will be coming back.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I feel like even if they are somehow able to bring everyone back, like, I mean, yeah.
Well, I think Loki's not coming back.
Yeah,
Loki's
I don't think out. Loki's coming back no. at all.
And I mean, Elba.
There's yeah.
Yeah, Heimdall is gone.
The only way that Loki would come back is just because he's Loki, right? And I don't know how you bring him back.
I mean,
if you don't have Thor, what's the point of
Thor
having Loki?
Thor even said, he was, you know, because there's like, well, is he going to come back? And he's like, well, maybe not this time. I don't think so this time.
Right. And so he's one that could be gone. Like, I think is gone, but I could also see them being like, well, he's Loki.
That's actually something that struck me in this, that there's so much going on. Needed the Asgardians.
All genocide. Of that.
Yeah.
Well, so, but at one point, Thor says, I watched him slaughter half of my people, but he blew up the whole ship. So everybody's gone, right?
Unless they're on Thanos' ship.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless that happens.
Which, Jesus Christ, please.
Well, the only good thing about that is that means Valkyrie, Brunhilde, might actually be alive. Because otherwise, there's no chance. Like, she's gone. Mm-hmm. We got her for one movie, and she's gone.
Yeah, that, I was thinking that while we were talking about this earlier. I was like, holy shit, there was people, like, yeah, that we didn't see Valkyrie, and we didn't see, oh shit, what's his name? The big dude. The rock guy.
What's
his fucking name?
Oh, Korg. Yeah. Korg. Yeah. And, you
know, Meek is on the ship, too. Yeah. But Meek is very hard to kill, you know?
Exactly. So I have to assume that, like, since we did not see them in any capacity, that maybe they've been moved off ship, and maybe we'll see them return in the next one.
I mean, there could be escape pods and things like that we just never saw. So
also, nobody knows where Sif is. Where the fuck is Sif? Like,
yeah, she appeared on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and she's never been back.
Yeah.
So, well, I want to thank.
I think she's on Earth with amnesia and a lot of tattoos.
Fair enough. That means that the Asgardian race can continue.
I want to thank everybody for coming out and doing this and spending your time with us. And I know that everybody's time is precious, but this was a lot of fun. It was great to hear other people's perspectives and fanfare and love for the characters and to see what you thought. So I'm glad that everybody really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for having us. Even though I basically muscled my way into this in Doug's life.
Yeah,
I appreciate your invite.
Threat.
I'm glad I'm not getting cut now.
No, that's still a possibility.
No, it's always a possibility. Now, it won't be for this, though.
Right. I apologize for my constantly stuttering internet.
It's all right.
Move into that new house and get that new internet.
Mm-hmm. Then we'll do an HD review of something, and then people will be like, holy shit, he sounds so crisp. Hey,
so we'll be back smooth. We'll be back for like Deadpool, right? Same crew.
This is the official review crew.
Yeah,
Peter's like, I got things to do. I got a crossword puzzle to finish.
Hey man, it was his idea.
He's a New York Times bestselling author. He
has time for this.
This is awesome. I thought this was great.
Awesome.
I
thought,
Well, I know I'm going to come out of Deadpool with like 100 little, oh my God, this is awesome. And this is awesome. And this is awesome. This is awesome.
Everything he referenced was great.
Guys. Okay, after okay, that actually, like, clip fingers. that Hugh Jackman shared with Deadpool on his bed, I'm like, Hugh Jackman, please be in the Deadpool, please.
I'm going to come out of the Deadpool movie with.
With what? With what, Peter?
A boner.
With all this excitement. That's just it. It's like, the first one was great. Fingers crossed we will come out of this one with, oh, that was cool, and that was cool, and that was cool.
Hey, they're saying that they're saying that it's tracking to be better than the first one.
So. That's shocking.
They had to go back and film more stuff with Domino because the fans loved her. The first like test screens and stuff. People really love Domino. They're like, oh shit, well, I guess we got to add
and
more
Terry
Domino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you guys all got to see the trailer before Avengers, right? For it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw one of the older ones where he stops it and he does the like the action figure fight. No, I haven't seen, they didn't show the newer one before.
Oh, I won't spoil
the Venom trailer.
Yeah, the Venom trailer. I got them both.
I got the Venom trailer, and then I've got that. Go ahead, if it's available out in the wild, I would say watch that. The ending of that trailer was hilarious. It's, I'm not, once again, I don't
know. I know what you're, that's been online for like 2 weeks, Kev.
It's, what is it then?
The was it Peter or whatever the dude's name? Pete?
Okay.
Yeah, or whatever, like skydiving. Are you kidding me? I can't fucking wait for this dude. He's going to be the best character.
Yeah.
I just saw the ad.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw that, and I laughed my ass off. That was perfect.
Yeah, it was like, what are your skills? Oh, I don't have any superpowers. You're
tired.
Yeah. And he's just, and then he's like a baller, just skydiving, like it's no thing. He looks unfazed by what's happening around him, and I hope that's his whole character.
I love it. But I'm very excited to see Terry Crews's. I'm very excited about
I love
that.
Terry Crews. He can no wrong.
I think there's two possibilities for that one guy. I think either he's going to die immediately, which would still be funny, or he's going to be the unsung hero of the film. Somehow save the
just like a normal
dude. That would actually be very likely because like one of Deadpool's good buddies is that Hydra agent that just like a regular Joe that just happens was a Hydra Bob or something. Like he's Hydra like, Bob, you know?
Yeah. So fingers crossed. I'm not pumped for this movie.
Sure. I think in the trailer, Bob is the guy Domino kicks out of the truck.
Is he?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It looks like him.
Google it.
Very quietly. Bullets are very fast.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, man, I can't wait for Cable.
I love that he calls him Thanos right off the bat, too.
Let me, hold on. I'm going to cut right here and just say, this is the end of the review. Anything else that we talk about after this, I'll leave for Patreon and I'll leave it up there. But thank you everybody for tuning in for the review. And if you're a Patreon, you're going to get a little bit more content because we're going to talk after this probably. But for everyone else, thank you so much. And thank you to Peter. Thank you to Windrus for coming out. And Kevin, Doug? Sure.
Hi.
Until next time. Goodbye.